Will it be at all or not at all? And of course, we're talking about finances. But isn't it weird that at Starbucks, a tall is a small? That is weird. Did you know that? The three different sizes of drinks, the tall is actually the smallest one. I don't know who initiated that naming of it, but I think it's a little weird. But anyway, we're going to be talking about tips for good stewardship, and that is what we do with our money. We should be a good steward of our money and our resources. We need to cultivate good spending and saving habits. Now, a lot of us know how to spend money, but I hope that all of us save a little each time. It's so important. I truly believe, ladies, that there is a way to live within our budget. I really believe that. My mother taught me from a little girl, and I'm going to teach you some of the things she taught me. And many of you need to teach your daughters this. A lot of people don't talk about this anymore. You need to teach your granddaughters about this, your daughters-in-law, if you can. but there is a way. That's a touchy one. We better not go there. I have two daughters-in-laws, and they're sweet. But sometimes I want to tell them, oh, honey. Okay, but I don't. But I can talk to you, okay? But there is a way to live within our budget. We don't have to have burdensome debt where we're paying unnecessary interest. Now, some of you may need to bite the bullet yourself to get out of a hole. Some of you may be here to help others know how to do this. So let's ask the Lord to help us, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk about stewardship, what we do with our money. And Lord, we're yours, so everything that we own is yours. So give us wisdom, godly wisdom in this matter. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me tell you some financial situations in my life just for fun, okay? When I was in college, my mother sent me a little bit of money each month. And I emphasize it was a little bit. I tried to figure out yesterday afternoon. I believe she sent me $10 a month. Now, this is in 1968, I know. So that's a long time ago. But with that money, I had to pay for my laundry there in the dorm to wash and to dry. And the only other money I had left was I could afford to spend 10 cents a day in our coffee shop for an order of toast. So that's what I did, and that took all of my money. For the first 2 years of my college, I never one time bought a Coca-Cola. You know why I couldn't afford it? Now all my friends were buying Coca-Colas, but I couldn't afford it, so I didn't do it. I did not go to the mall for the first 2 years of my college. You know why? I didn't have money, so why go? Because it just develops an interest in what you want, and you see others buying, so you think, what's wrong with me? You know, well, I'll just charge it or whatever. So I don't know. Interesting. Then when we got married, my husband worked at Sears selling shoes for straight commission, meaning if he didn't sell anything, he didn't get any money. And he did, okay. But he got paid in cash. Sears and Roebuck's paid in cash in 1970. That's weird, isn't it? So we had the envelope system. My mother taught me, all of us kids, this. I'm the oldest of six. And so we had in our little apartment, we had an envelope for tithe. We had an envelope for our rent. And we had an envelope for our bills, and we had an envelope to save. And we lived like that. If we didn't have money to go out to eat, which a lot of times we didn't, we just didn't go out. Then, one year when our two sons were teenagers, we had made a ministry change. And so I was teaching in a Christian school, and my husband was actually waiting, you know, for a different thing, whatever. We could not afford to eat out for a while. So when they were teenagers, one particular year, I should say one particular school year, we did not eat out one single time. Now that's foreign to a lot of us, isn't it? Now we did order pizza once a week on Wednesday, but we would eat it at our house so we could have our own drinks and our own chips and so forth. But I'm telling you, not to brag on myself, but I'm so thankful for how my mother taught me. In the 42 years of being married to Toby Weaver, we have never paid one penny of interest on any credit card. Very few people can say that. And we have never been late on one single bill. Now, very few people can say that too. And I'm telling you, my mother just taught me and taught all of us. We lived very simply, but yet we were happy. And so never have we paid one penny of interest on any credit card. And never have we had to thank the Lord and thankful for my training. Never paid us a bill late at all. So our topic is, will it be tall or not at all? So let's begin with some negatives, and it's on your paper there. Number one, when we think about some things we should not do at all, number one would be to neglect to prioritize. prioritize, P-R-I-O-R-I-T-I-Z-E, prioritize. Here's the deal, ladies. We need to budget and spend our money based on biblical priorities. Now, I think the priorities are this, ladies. I think we always need to tithe first and tithe an offering, even if an offering is just a penny. Tithe on the tenth of your income and then give an offering. And even if you can only afford a penny, just give a penny, but at least give a little bit more for an offering. And then we have to provide for our needs. Our needs are we have to have a place to live and we have to have food to eat, okay? So tithe and offering and then our needs, and then we're going to have bills. But all of that should be paid before our recreational items, before our conveniences and our wants. And most of our wants center around shopping, buying clothes, or going out to eat. And we're at a place in our life now, we could go out to eat a lot, and we do it probably way too much, but we can afford it. But it's expensive. I mean, even if you buy a cup of coffee in a restaurant, you know, it's a lot of money if you buy a Coca-Cola. So do your tithes and offerings, and you've got to provide for your needs and then your bills, and then if anything is left over, then do it. The person who is struggling to find a job and can't pay their gas bill sometimes will even buy a new car. That's dumb. Sorry. Okay? The student who is several months behind in his school bill, they will have unlimited text and unlimited internet on their cell phone, and that baffles me. By keeping our priorities in line with God's priorities, we will save ourselves from unneeded burdens and heartaches. So not at all, never neglect to prioritize. What is priority? Number two, never delay paying bills. Pay your bills. Set a place in your home where you keep and pay the bills. A lot of husbands have the wives do it, and my husband has asked me to do this, and I try to do it the best of my ability and not aggravate him with it. Some husbands want to do it themselves, but whatever works in your house is fine. But I have a certain place where I pay the bills. There, I have stamps there. I don't do the paperless yet because I don't, the computer stuff, that'd be great if you could do that. But I keep the checkbook, pens, stamps, and other things. I also keep my tithing envelopes right there because I'm in charge of all that. But this will help you stay organized. I determined to pay our bills as soon as they arrive in the mail. As soon as they come, I just write a check right then. I don't wait. Avoiding late fees is a priority. To pay a late fee would just be like torture to me. So we try to have our money in order so that as soon as the bill comes, we pay it. If we use our money for other things instead of paying our bills, you know what, ladies? I think that's sort of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, if you've heard that expression before. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. So if we owe a bill, I need to pay that bill when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, come again. Tomorrow, I'll pay that bill tomorrow, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. So I think we need to not to delay paying bills. Number three, not at all. I put the word debt here. Debt is, I don't like that word. In my opinion, there are only two things that we can sometimes go into debt for. That would be a house or a car. But now be careful, ladies. Keep your taste simple in houses. Most of us cannot afford to live in the Taj Mahal. But we have to have a house, okay? So keep your taste simple on that. And then we have to have a car. But we don't have to have the nicest of cars, okay? We just need a car that runs. But so I'm okay, in my opinion, with borrowing money or going into debt for a house and a car as long as we're being sensible about it. But for anything else, we save until we have the money for it. And that has kept us financially afloat in our 42 years of marriage. Save your money, and when you have enough money, then you buy the item. Refusing to go into debt means living within your means or living below it. Do you recall hearing a story from your parents or your grandparents, how they had to work hard when they were first married, and they needed to buy furniture, but they couldn't afford it to begin with, and so maybe they told you how they would eat. They ate off an old apple crate, and they had mismatched silverware. I don't know if you ever heard them tell these stories. And they saved up for months. They finally had enough money to go buy a table at Sears and Roebuck. And their eyes would just speak volumes. It was so exciting. We saved our money, and then we went and bought it. Those days seem like a long time ago, because the motto today is, just charge it. Just charge it, as if that solves anything. The sales clerk will, first of all, say this when you go to buy an item. Can I put that on your charge? You know why she says that? She wants us to charge it. Because she knows if we don't pay that bill in its totality, they get a little bit of, well, they get a whole lot of interest. Have you ever checked out the interest on a credit card bill? It's crazy. A mother took her young son shopping one day, and the clerk handed him a sucker, a lollipop. And the mother said, "Now, what do you say, son?" And the boy looked up and said, "Charge it." And how silly that is. A lot of times we see an advertisement that says, "Buy this furniture or whatever, and there's no payments for 6 months." And if we get excited about that, wow, no payments for 6 months. The only problem with that, we get used to using that item and not setting the money aside to pay for it. And after 6 months, then bam, the bill comes. We've not been used to setting aside money to pay for that. And oh my goodness, now we can't pay the bill when it comes, and now we got to pay the high interest. So it's like a vicious cycle. The Bible admonishes us about debt and the burdens of having debt. The Bible says this in Proverbs 22:7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." There's a young lady right now who had an accident this summer in a car that she borrowed. And now every time she sees the girl whose car she borrowed, she almost wants to duck around the corner and hide. She's a servant to this girl who owned the car. It's crazy. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." I don't want to owe you anything other than just to say, "Hello, nice to see you. Glad you're here. I love you in the Lord." If you're in debt today, start by seeking guidance and then making a plan. The plan may be cutting up credit cards, and I think credit card gets way too many young couples especially into big trouble, or eliminating some extras until this debt is paid down. Don't ignore debt because it continues to grow like a snowball and you get deeper and deeper. Number four, not at all, impulse shopping. Impulse shopping. Even to the grocery store, girls, ladies, I'm sorry, I'm used to teaching girls. Even to the grocery store, ladies, at age 62, I take a list. I don't just walk in there and just buy whatever. I have a list. I prepare it all week. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:20, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." So if we're wise and don't just impulse shop, you go in there, you see other ladies grabbing stuff, so you think, "Oh, I got to grab something too." Well, that's impulse shopping. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. We'll have treasure and oil if we'll be wise. But the foolish person just says, "Oh, who cares? Just spend it all." So let's avoid impulse shopping. Number five, not at all. Let's see. Make a large expenditure without prayer. You're going to buy something that costs a lot of money without actually praying about it with your husband. Don't buy large items if you haven't prayed about it. When we stop to pray, we allow God to direct us. We also acknowledge that we need Him and that He is sovereign and this is His money. Prayer also helps to make sure we're on the same page with our husband. Okay, let's pray about this. It can also assist us in avoiding impulse shopping for expensive items. God may want you to wait till another time to buy this. Just pray about it. He is the source of all wisdom. He may even answer your prayer by meeting the need flat out or helping you find the item that is right for your budget. But pray about it. I love Mrs. Wilkerson talking about on the day she prayed, "Lord, direct the way I go to work or go to the church." And we always usually go the same route. But this particular day, she prayed that prayer, and how did God open a door for her to find that lady that she had been trying to find? So why don't we pray more often? "Lord, help me. I don't want to be strapped financially. I want to pray about this with my husband." Number six, not at all. That's trying to keep up with the Joneses. Is there anybody in here whose last name is Jones? Okay, good. Okay, but don't try to keep up with the Joneses because that's something, not at all. Don't even worry about that. We're going to talk about that further in just a minute. But there's some verses of scripture for this, Proverbs 24, 1 through 5. "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. But through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength." Girls, ladies, we need help to say, "Lord Jesus, I don't have to keep up with the Joneses." You don't know, but the Joneses may be having a fuss right now in their house about how they're going to pay for this. And they're at each other's throats. So we don't need to be keeping up with the Joneses. And so those are some things, not at all, we shouldn't even consider. Now let's go to the positive. We're going to order a tall. All right, here we go. Number one, remember that God is the owner. God is the owner. When tempted to buy something that you do not need or to splurge on something that you really can't afford, this is what we should ask ourselves. Is this what God wants me to spend His money on? Remember I prayed that a while ago? We are all Christians, or maybe I said it a while ago, I can't remember. We're all Christians, so everything we have belongs to the Lord. So acknowledging His ownership daily helps us to prioritize our expenditures. Remember that God is the owner. Number two, order at all. This is what we should do, and that's the word tithe, always. We're commanded in the Bible to tithe 10%, and I believe it's on the 10th means tithe. I think it's on the 10th of our gross pay, and then we live on our net pay, but always tithe on the gross pay. Ladies, you cannot outgive God. I know you sometimes feel like you're in a hole, if you're in a hole debt-wise, but pay that tithe first. If you pay your tithe first, I truly believe, and you have a right heart about it, I believe God will help you with that 90% left over and give you wisdom. I have proven it, ladies, in my life. I have seen my parents prove it. And so go for it. We're commanded to tithe and give a 10% whether we make $10 a week or whether we make $10,000 a week. By the way, do any of you make $10,000 a week? Okay, I knew you didn't. Okay, just kidding. So whatever we make, we should pay a tenth of it to the Lord. So important. When our sons were growing up, we bought them lawnmowers. And we said, now boys, you're going to have to, since you're all in sports and the sports shoes cost so much money and we're living within our means, where I'm going to have you, we'll provide everything else, but I want you to buy your own tennis shoes that are required for the different sports. So we got lawnmowers for them, and we got them three envelopes. And whenever they would get paid, in most lawns, they would get $5 for it. But I had three envelopes, and when they had come in with their money, we'd go straight back there. I always had change. I'm training them. There was an envelope for their tithe. There was an envelope for what they're going to save, and then there was an envelope for their shoes. That's what they wanted to buy, their shoes. And so we trained them like that. And by the way, my sister, Susie Rasmussen, did the same thing with her children. But she used little jars. I can remember seeing one time in their house in Tennessee, I was putting towels up or something, and there's all these jars. I said, what are that? I said, that's for Amy and Elisa. Well, Mark wasn't born then. No, he was little. He didn't have his yet. But Amy and Elisa, there's a tithe, their savings, and then for whatever they want. And so she was making them. And I'm so thankful my mother did that with me. And it just helped us greatly. But tithe. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So if we're going to be blessed of the Lord, I truly believe we need to tithe. And number three, order at all, give. This would be an offering. As a Christian, we should strive to give over and above our tithe. And it can be, maybe it is in your life, that you can only give a penny above the tithe, but at least give a penny. Because the Bible does talk about tithes and offerings. And our pastor talks about tithes and offerings. So anyway, in our church, of course, we have faith promise giving, faith promise for the missionaries. We have building fund things, but there's always ways that we can give to the Lord's work. Listen to these verses from Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now my husband and I give to Lancaster Baptist Church. We give to the tithe, we give to the faith promise, we give to the building fund, and we give to the partners in ministry, which is the college. So no wonder I love this place. I have a treasure here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're into things and getting the better things, that's where your treasure is, your heart is. But all of those things decrease in value. But God's work increases. So I love having my treasure in our church. So that's order at all. Number four, another order at all, save. Saving is good stewardship. You may save for a little expense, or you may save for a big expense like your children's future, but whatever the case is, save. Even if it's a penny, save it. Do you know that if you save your pennies, honestly, in about a month you maybe can buy a Coca-Cola or maybe one of the specialty drinks down there that cost, I don't know, $3.50. But save your pennies. It's amazing. You take pennies into a bank and how it, so even if you save a penny, but save something. As Christians, I think we fail too much in this area. We assume that God will provide, and He will. But sometimes He's already provided for our needs, and we've spent it elsewhere. Because maybe you have a car accident, or maybe you have to do extra dental work. Or maybe you, I don't know, maybe you have to go fly to a place because your mother is on her deathbed. But if you have saved some money, you have a little cushion there that can help you. So, ladies, let's tithe, and let's give an offering, even if it's a penny. And let's save something so that there's a little cushion in case we have an emergency. We try to save as much as we tithe. Now, you may not be able to do that, but we try to save as much as we tithe, and that helps. The Lord will not suffer, Proverbs 10:3 says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but He casteth away the substance of the wicked. Listen to this part. He becometh poor, a person becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, just whatever, you know. And of course, my husband, if he has money in his pocket, like cash, he will spend it. So he knows to not carry cash. He lets me carry the cash. So sometimes when we're at a restaurant, I'll have to slip the money to him because I don't want to look like I'm paying the bill. But he knows if he has money in his pocket, he's going to spend it. Is that how you are? And if that be the case, then don't carry it. Because if you're wanting to buy some, well, I can't because I don't have the money. That's fine. But save. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Another order tall. Number 5, communicate about finances with your spouse or your future spouse. I see some single ladies in here. So talk about it. Finances is one of the biggest sources of arguments for a family, honestly. And you don't really think about this while you're dating. But you need to talk about this before marriage. Commit to open communication and trust. And if you have a checkbook, always balance the checkbook. If you write a check, subtract it from the total there so that you'll know how much you have. You get yourself in trouble if you just write checks. You know, no, you've got to keep track of that. Your husband is one of his main jobs is to provide for the family. So ladies, let's don't complain about the income he provides. Let's don't complain about that. Let's strive to be content with what God has provided for us. You, as a lady, find ways to stretch money. Actually, ladies, I think I can stretch a penny till I think the penny says, ouch. I really do. I mean, my mother just taught us to learn how to stretch pennies. But you need to learn that. And learn, find ways to save. I don't think it's wise to have a separate bank account with husband and wife. You're together. But pray about this and budget it together. One time when Todd was a junior high age, we were in Kmart in Indiana. This is when Kmart was a big thing. I don't think Walmart had started yet. Anyway, he said, Mom, can I have this? And I said, no, I don't have the money for it because I didn't have cash. Now, I did have a checkbook. But he said, I don't have any money. And he said, well, just write a check. As if that's, you know, the magic, white paper. Write a check. And I said, well, the truth is, Todd, let me teach you something. I do have a little money in the checkbook, but I want you to know that just write a check. That's not the magic whatever. And of course, nowadays, it's just charge it, you know. So you have to train the children. They're not going to know that. So you got to train them. Then, of course, by the way, there was one time a prospective father-in-law said to his daughter's boyfriend, now, how much money do you have in the bank? And his future son-in-law said, I don't know. I haven't shaken it lately. Now, that's pretty scary, isn't it? He's got a piggy bank. Dr. Rasmussen asked Jonathan Ballou, I'm telling a little family secret here, to have a certain amount of money in the bank before he could marry Elisa Rasmussen. Because you know what, girls? You can't live on love. No. And two cannot live cheaper than one. Whoever said that was crazy. Okay? So you need to save, and you need to talk about your finances with your spouse. Number 6, order it all. Here is the next one. Get financial wisdom. And you have come to this session, whether it is to help yourself or to help someone else know some things to do. But money is a tool. It's not an end. We should never base our final decision upon finances, but we should rather base our decisions on wisdom. We need wisdom from the Lord. Get financial wisdom. One way to do this is to read books on finances. Another is to ask a friend who manages their finances well for tips. Another would be to take a class. And here at Lancaster Baptist, we periodically have classes on finances and how to do well with your finances. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of just having money. Get wisdom, ladies. And the gain thereof, of wisdom, is much better than having gold in your pocket. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. And the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. It's the greater thing to have wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand. You can live longer because you're not so all tied in a knot if you have wisdom, financial wisdom. And all her ways of wisdom are pleasantness and peace. As opposed to, in some households, they're fussing like crazy about finances. There's troubles. There's heartaches. There's marriage trouble. You know why? Because they have not exercised financial wisdom. All right? Number 7, order a tall, live within a budget. Live by a budget. Making a budget may not seem hard or confusing, but it may seem hard and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. I have that what I teach to some college girls who are not married yet, a skeleton example of a budget. And I'll have these up here if you would like a copy of it. You're welcome to have that. But have a budget. You know what? You ought to try for a month to write down everything you spend. You'll be surprised where your money's going. I do the same thing with girls who ask me, Miss Weaver, can you help me lose weight? I say, okay, well, first of all, you start out and you write down everything that you've eaten. And they, I don't want to do that. Because you know what? It shows where you're eating too much. And I say, write down what time of the day you ate it, you know? So the same is thing with money. Write down what you're spending your money on. You might be surprised. I spent way too much money at McDonald's. Anyway, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Girls, ladies, do you know where your money's going? Know about it. For riches are not forever. Now, we're going to go really fast on these next ones, so I want you to fill these out as we go. These are just, and by the way, out beside the topic, where it says living within a budget, why don't you write a smiley face? There's one, what one looks like. Because I want you to live, be happy about living within your budget. My money is not yours and your money is not mine, but whatever your budget is, be happy about living within it. Number one, this is a repeat, realize it's God's money. But if you realize that all the money you have as a Christian is God's, you'll be better at how we spend it. Number two, tithe first. This is so important. If you tithe last because you're tight on money and then you say, well, I'll double up next week, can I tell you that's probably impossible? Just tithe first and then say, Lord Jesus, I'm in a hole here. Help me to have wisdom to know what to do with the rest of this money, but I'm going to tithe first because I want to keep you, dear Lord Jesus, in a respectful way. I want to keep you happy. Okay, tithe first. Number three, prepare and keep a budget. Prepare one, write it down, and then keep it. Let your budget be your boss. Every Christian, in my opinion, should have finances in order. I don't think the people that send out late fees should know that they're sending them to a bunch of Christians. I think that might be a bad testimony. So let's keep our finances in order. Number four, pay your bills immediately when you get paid. Pay your bills immediately when you get paid. And then if there's any money left over, go ahead and spend it. And if there is no money left over after you've paid your bills, at least you can have a clear conscience. You have paid your bills. Hallelujah. Number five, have an agreement with your mate about money. What is the agreement? We won't spend it if we don't have it. We won't spend it if we don't have it. That's the agreement. I can remember when we were first married, we didn't have a lot of money, but my husband wanted to take me out to eat, so he'd say, where do you want to go? And I knew we couldn't afford the fancy places, and so I was still in my little Gucci goose stage, you know, we're just married, so I said, oh, honey, it doesn't matter, just as long as I'm with you. But you know what? That's a pretty good idea, isn't it? Yeah. Restaurant bills can add up so big, and it's crazy, you know? And if you have the money for it and you have your bills paid, that's fine. But a lot of people don't have their bills paid, and a lot of people haven't tithed, and they shouldn't be doing it. Number six, don't give away money if you owe someone else. Like if you have an overdue bill, you shouldn't be, a lot of college students get a real burden for their bus kids, and I love that. But I have to teach them. If you have if your bill is not paid, you should not be giving some of that money for your bill to some of the bus kids that you love, you know, but you gotta teach them that because they hear a sermon and they wanna help somebody. But if they're not doing right if they're not tithing, giving an offering, and paying their bill. See, so, but you gotta teach them that. Then, you know, when you give a gift, you don't have to give the most expensive gift of all at that shower, do you? I'll never forget a sweet lady at a ministry where we were, and it was another Bible college, and so she got invitations to all the showers. So what she did was she would always give the same gift. And it was just 6 juice glasses that she would get at Kmart. And she would give every single college girl that was getting married the same thing. And she would say in there, "These are just like mine. And I've enjoyed them so much." And then she gave that to everybody. But that was so smart. Because she got so many invitations, she couldn't get something big for it. You can always go in with someone else to give a gift, you know. So anyway, there's just ways that we can do it. Number 7, keep your checkbook in good order. This is a repetition from a while ago. But subtract from the balance when you're writing a check. And to me, it's best if only one person in the family writes the checks, because then they can know what it is. But whatever your husband wants, that'll be fine. Number 8, deny the lesser to get the greater. If you want a new living room suit, I'm going to tell you one thing. Living room suits cost a lot of money. So you may have to deny the lesser, like going out to eat or dropping by and getting ice cream at Cold Stone's. I love Cold Stone's. It's $3.35 for one dip. I mean, it's great if you can afford it, if you've tithed and paid an offering and paid your bills. But that's a lot of money for one dip of ice cream. Oh, so good. You know, so that's what I'm talking about. You may have to deny the lesser to get the bigger, okay, to get the greater. Number 9, buy only what you can afford. And you will not answer to anyone else about their finances, but we will answer for our own. So you only buy what you can afford. And if you don't spend the money if you don't have it. Of course, how do you do that? With a credit card. Don't spend what you're going to make tomorrow. Some couples get in trouble with this. We're going to sell this house, and with this money, we'll buy this one. Well, so they go all these plans for this new house, and then the person who was going to buy the other house backs out. And then they've already been spending money on money that they thought they were going to make. Don't do that. Be careful. Achan did this. He saw it, and he wanted it, and he took it. Let's be very careful that we only buy what we can afford, only buy what you can afford. Number 10, don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Let me give you a scenario about this. And, of course, the word Joneses should be in quotation marks. Okay, we're going to buy a new house. Okay, we buy a new house. Oh, no, our furniture looks crummy in this new house. So maybe we better buy some new furniture. Oh, we got this new furniture to put on this crummy carpet. We better buy a new carpet. Oh, we get the new carpet in. Oh, the curtains and drapes look awful now with this new carpet. You see this snowball that's happening? And then we've got this new house, and now this old crummy car, we come crumbling, riding up, so maybe we should get a new car too. And then we come up and we say, oh, look at the neighbor, they just got a new fence. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, we better get a new fence. Then we get a new, and we can't afford any of this. Then we get a new fence, then we're sitting in our new house with our new carpet, and we're hating each other's guts because we can't really pay this. Oh, a patio, that's what we need. Do you see how we're, because our neighbor has one. So be careful. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses, all right? Let what you have make you happy. I tell the college girls all the time, want what you have. Now, we look at others and say, oh, I wish I had that outfit or I wish I had this. But you really need to look and just say, I want what I have. Now, if you can afford to buy something else, that's great. But if you can't, don't buy it, all right? Then number 11, save on your food bill. I'm telling you, ladies, Coca-Colas and chips and junk food, if you reduce that, just the junk food, do you know you'll also reduce your doctor bill? Because junk food, in time, messes us up. But anyway, save on your food bill. You don't have to, I mean, this is what I do. When we have company, I have fixed the same meal every time. It's always roast in a crock pot. That's easy. So what I do, I don't buy the roast every single week. I buy them when they're on sale. And I put it in the freezer. And so then, and the different things that are on sale, you plan, but try to save on the food bill. So far, I've never served T-bone steaks to any company. Now, if you can afford to do that, that's great, but I've just never done it. I could probably afford to do it now, but I just am so habit of doing the roast, hey, it's fine with me. Roast beef is good. Number 12, keep your children's taste simple. You will do your child a favor if you'll do this. You don't have to buy them the nicest of the nicest. I feel so sorry for some kids today, their parents give them such a nice graduation from high school gift, maybe a trip to, I don't know, whatever. Their poor husband, when they get married, they can never top that, you know? And then if you do something so gigantic for the first anniversary, then what are you going to do for the next anniversary? But keep your children's taste simple. My mother used to talk about everything that we would do it in three ways. First of all is anticipate. We're going to think about it. We're going to go to the park this Saturday. So we're anticipating it. Then when we're at the park, can you believe we're at the park? Yes! And then after, wasn't that great? We were at the park. So we enjoyed everything that my parents did for us in three times. We anticipated it, we participated in it, and then we reminisced about it. I try to do that with Todd and Joy. Number 13, keep entertainment simple. Have a good time wherever you go. Let simple things make you happy. This is just a way to live within your budget and to live with a smiley face on your mouth. Numbers 14, think about how you can save. And think about how you can save, all right? There's so many different ways. Think about how you can save. Number 16, get into the habit of saving. Make it a habit. And it doesn't mean that you have to save a whole lot, unless you can, but save something. And then number 16, do not consolidate your bills with a new loan. You'll hear people say this, consolidate your bills, and they've got all this plan. I don't know. I haven't known too many families who've been glad they did that. They can talk, these financial people can talk you into stuff. I'm not really sure about that. In my opinion, my parents used to say, don't ever consolidate bills into a new loan. And I've gone by that, and I've been happy. Number 17, have a goal to be completely out of debt. Except for maybe your house and your car, okay? But other than that, let that be a goal. Lord, help me. I need wisdom, because you may say, I'm a spendthrift. I just, whatever. But pray about it and ask God to help you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for these ladies who have walked in this room of their own volition. Maybe because they needed help themselves. Maybe because they wanted some advice about how to help their children. Or maybe a pastor's wife who can use these notes someplace else. Whatever the case, Lord Jesus, we need you. And I don't know everything. And so far you've been so good to my husband and me. But Lord Jesus, we want to be wise. We want your wisdom as we look forward to serving you with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.